Good afternoon, welcome to our meeting, 1:30 PM on August 20th, 2024, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. Addison Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Olson, our Vice President, Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO, Colin Willenbrock, our General Counsel, Allison Morrison, our Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, our Deputy Clerk of the Board. Written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phones or electronic devices at this time. Copies of the agenda are located on the clerk's table near the entrance. Commissioners, any items to be added or changes to be made to the public agenda?
I have none. I have none.
Comments to the public is item two on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak on the sign-up card located on the clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial star nine if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, please hand them to the clerk who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought before for discussion. So let's start off with a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic
which stands
one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Next is item two, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? Seeing anyone in the room? Seeing anybody online? Move on to item three, our consent agenda. 3A, approval of minutes for the special meeting of August 1st, 2024, and the regular meeting of August 6th, 2024. 3B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments. 3C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. And 3D, consideration of resolution offering the CEO general manager or his designee to execute separation agreements between individual members of the Customer Energy Services Department, meter to cash team, and Public Utility District Number 1, Snohomish County. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? I'm not seeing any hands up online. I'm not seeing any in the room. Are there any questions or comments, commissioners, on the consent agenda?
I have none.
I have none either. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item four, items for individual consideration. 4A, our 2025 budget notice of public hearing. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval of the proposed notice of public hearing as presented in the packet for the 2025 proposed budget.
Okay, Sarah Bond, available here. Hi, Sarah. Can you answer any questions? Are there any comments from the public regarding the 2025 proposed budget notice of public hearing? Shockingly, I see no hands up. Do you have any questions or comments, Commissioner?
No, I did not. No.
Been here before. Thank you. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Did I get everyone?
Aye.
Okay.
We answered at the same time.
I gotcha. Motion carries unanimously. 4B, consideration of a motion accepting the second quarter 2024 financial conditions and activities monitoring report. I'll call for a motion.
I move acceptance.
We have Sean Hunsuck here, who's provided the presentation. Good afternoon, Sean. Hunsuck, I'm sorry.
Good afternoon. Thank you, commissioners. I'm Sean Hunsuck, Senior Manager, Controller, and Auditor. I'm happy to present you today with the second quarter 2024 financial report. You may recall that the first quarter financial report was presented back on May 21st. Also in the packet, just for reference, on page 152 of the packet is the 2024 Treasury Budget and Project Status Report, also through 6/30/2024. So to the extent that we can, we're trying to present both reports to the commission during the same commission meeting. To highlight some of the numbers in the table before you, excuse me, net income through the second quarter of 2024 is approximately 48% lower. As you may recall, and we've had some conversations about in the past, but we did see an increase in operating revenue. However, we also saw an increase in purchase power expenses for the first half of the year, as well as operation and maintenance expense. Total operating revenue is about $27 million higher than the previous year. That is primarily related to rate increases, but we've also had an increase in the whole volume of activity for wholesale sales as well compared to the prior year. And we'll see a specific slide on that coming up. Total operating expenses, again, higher by about $50 million compared to the prior year. And again, the two big drivers there are operation and maintenance expense and purchase power. The O&M expense is primarily related to just general cost increases, inflationary increases, as well as salary and benefit increases. And we've talked a lot about purchase power expense that was up quite a bit early in the year and has kind of normalized and settled out throughout the rest of the year. And capital expenditures are up just a little bit through the second quarter. And the largest capital expenses, these are project to date, not necessarily year to date. North County office, $46 million. The Stanwood Camino transmission line, $13.6 million. And Connect Up EMI, $10.5 million included in the capital numbers there. So on the year-to-date revenue then, retail sales in total are up about 4%. You'll see in a future slide, the volume of sales, megawatt hours, is down just a little bit. However, the increase is also net of an increase in rates, both in April of 23 and April of 24, as well as the BPA pass-through rate increase that happened late last year. Oops, sorry. The wholesale revenue again is up, and we'll see a slide breaking down these numbers in terms of volume and rate. So we did see an increase in both volume and rate for wholesale revenue. And a decrease in other revenues. This is primarily related to the BPA reserve distribution. We're still receiving that this year. However, it is significantly lower than the prior year. On the megawatt hours build, we have had a small decrease again, as I mentioned earlier, on the residential side. However, it is reflective of the rate increases that I mentioned earlier. So we do see an overall slight increase in total revenue from residential. And commercial is relatively the same compared to prior year, as well as industrial. The wholesale volume, we have seen an increase in the volume available for sale. You may recall in the first quarter of 2023, it was quite a bit colder compared to the first quarter of 24. So that really drove the volume difference there between this year and last year, was we had less power available to sell to the open market last year compared to this year. We needed that power back in 23, early 23, for our own customers rather than selling that on the open market.
So how will we come and make that the large expense, $40 million expense for market? We made some of that up relative to the budget, or
the revenue is higher, so that helps. I can go back a slide, or actually that's a good slide there too. The revenue is up $27 million. However, if you look at the overall activity, Net income is negative $20 million for the first 6 months of the year. However, that large increase in purchase power and some increase in O&M as well is offset by the higher revenue. So we didn't necessarily see all of that cost increase absorbed by the revenue fund. Well, it is in the revenue fund. However, it's also offset by the $27 million increase in revenue. So net increase in cost of $50 million, however, net income was only negative $20 million. So I think we were done with this one.
Do we have thoughts about whether wholesale sales will continue to be high? And the value is very high, $54.
Jason may know more about the volume. Also, one thing I do want to point out on the rate there, that's an average for the entire 6 months. Yeah. So that number was really high the first month of the year, and it's kind of normalized throughout the year.
I guess part of it's just better water year last year.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Jason Zaskowski, Assistant General Manager for Facilities, Generation, Power Rates, and Transmission. Yes, slightly better water year. I think the other thing that will factor into, you know, potentially more wholesale sales in the future is we'll be purchasing more in advance because we have higher targets. So we'll be purchasing more to hit those higher targets. And if, you know, we don't have kind of higher loads come in, a peak week or something like that, selling that power again. So kind of purchasing more as an insurance policy, but then selling it if it's not needed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. So again, real quickly on the O&M side, we did see an increase in inflationary cost increase. Some of that is also due to the supply chain easing up. And so we've had some purchases that we've necessarily had to delay into 24 that have materialized this year as well. And then, as I mentioned, the salary and benefit cost increases. And we've talked a lot about the purchased power increase. Again, that really spiked very early in 24, but has leveled out, normalized throughout the rest of the year. So the megawatt hours power supply, this is on the supply side rather than the purchase, not a significant change in the BPA block in slice compared to the prior year. You can see the volume of megawatt hours as well as the rate. We did see an increase in district generation this year, both in volume, or excuse me, in volume due to the better water year compared to the prior year. And that, you know, for district generation, those costs are spread out among the available megawatt hours. So as generally speaking, as volume goes up, then the per megawatt hour costs go down. We did see also an increase again in the market purchases, and the rate was higher as well. Again, some of that due to the MLK weekend earlier this year. Megawatt hours purchased and sold. So this just combines both the purchase and sale. The top two bar charts are on the wholesale side. So we've seen an increase this year of the wholesale market sales. We've had more power available to sell in the open market, and we've had higher purchases. Again, the availability was higher and the need was higher to some extent as well in 2024. The BPA slice, again, not a significant deviation from the prior year. And then, so just in summary again, the net income for the first 6 months of the year is negative $20 million approximately, and capital expenditures are up just slightly compared to the prior 6 month period.
Thank you.
look at the metrics, or financial indicators, the operating reserve fund was down just a bit. Again, that you typically see that when operating income was a negative number. Project reserves are down a bit as well, as we've incurred capital expenses and drawing down the project reserves. And the outstanding debt has gone down with the debt service payments, and no significant change in the debt service coverage. So both 3.6 last year and this year are much higher compared to the minimum target that's required there. So megawatt hours billed, again, a slight decrease in the megawatt hours billed for this year compared to the prior year. That is down 2.4%. The wholesale megawatt hours sold is up 25.2%. So just had more availability of power to sell in the open market. One thing I do want to mention here is related to the net write-offs. That may look like a large, well, it is a large increase. However, yeah. One thing I want to mention related to this, it's a little bit misleading, or you need to have more information to really dig into these numbers. If you'll recall, the June of 23 number was net of the utility arrearage. So we had two large tranches of funding that came in, federal funding for utility assistance. That those were in December of 22 and June of 23. And so that drove down these numbers, both in terms of the percentage of sales write-off and the net write-off dollar amount. So those are both significantly lower than what they would normally be. So I went back and compared the June of 24 numbers to the pre-COVID percentage and dollar amount, and both are within range, expected range. So in June of 2019, the percentage was 0.29 rather than 0.3, and the net write-offs was also about $1.3 million there too. So we're back to historical levels. We likely would see a decrease to some extent in the net write-offs in the third quarter for the $200 utility assistance that was recently applied. Now, unlike the utility arrearage grant, the $200 bill credit, the customers did not need to be in a past due status like they did for the utility arrearage. So presumably, a portion, potentially a large portion of that $200 utility credit that was recently applied to customer accounts was for current bills and not necessarily past due bills at all. So, but we still would expect some of that to have gone to past due bills. So we may see a decrease in this number again for the third quarter.
Thank you for the explanation. I had to pick myself up off the floor on this
one. You bet. Oh, yeah, I should say, sorry, slight increase in the number of new customer connections. So we're over 380,000 currently for customer connections for electric. Onto the water system, yeah, the net income there was $273,000. That is 79% lower than 2023. And a number of things going on in 23 that did not necessarily happen in 24. So specifically, you may recall, wholesale revenue was quite a bit higher in 23 for water than it is in 24. Part of that due to the wholesale sales that we had in 23 to the city of Arlington. There were some issues going on there that required a lot more wholesale sales from the PUD to the city of Arlington to meet their water demand. So that happened again in 2023 and did not happen again in 24. So that impacts both the wholesale revenue and the purchased water cost. Also in the purchased water cost change, that again, the volume is down quite a bit. We also had a well that was out in 23 for a while that increased our purchased water costs. So that didn't happen again in 24, so you have that difference from one year to the next. And all of this is net of the pass-through cost increase from the city of Everett as well. So that is also included in the purchased water cost. We did have an increase in O&M expense of about $611,000. We dug into that variance over the last couple of weeks, and it looks like that, similar to the electric system, is net of a lot of different inflationary cost increases, small level of staffing changes from prior year to current year, and also salary and benefit cost changes. So not really one large thing that's driving that cost increase, just a mix of various other cost increases.
Isn't that also linked to capital labor?
It could. So if we have less capital going on, then more of that would go through O&M, correct. And you can see down on the bottom, the capital expenditures are down just a little bit. And the largest projects there, again, these are project-to-date numbers, not necessarily current year. The Warm Beach Treatment Plant, $1.4 million, water AMI Connect Up, $1.2 million, and the kayak reservoir improvements of $730,000. So on the financial indicators then, the operating reserves are down, however you would expect that with a decrease in the operating income. The project reserves are up. That's related to the bond issuance that occurred in Q3 of last year. That also impacts the outstanding water system debt. That went up as well as our debt to capital asset ratio. The wholesale revenue, retail revenue is down just slightly in terms of cubic feet sold, and the wholesale revenue or cubic feet sold is down, again, quite a bit, primarily related to the need that we had in 23 for the city of Arlington that wasn't there in 2024. The connections are up just slightly, 145 this year, so we're up to 23,700.
Thoughts on why the wholesale price is down? Is that just the mix of customers and our cost to serve them?
That could be. I can dig into it some more. I don't know if Jeff added anything there or staff. Yeah, we can dig into it and get some details.
Don't worry about it. I imagine every city has a different contract.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is Jeff Kallstrom, AGM Water Utility. Christina Arndt is on the line. I'm wondering if Christina, if you could step in and just, if you have an answer to this.
Yeah, sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Christina Arndt, manager at the Water Utility. And yes, Commissioner Logan, there's kind of a mix in there with the different wholesale contracts that we do have out there. And then I don't know how that is calculated exactly, but I would imagine some of the reduction in the cubic foot sold is impacting that as well.
Yeah, so one thing that I noticed, that number is a function of the revenue divided by the volume sold. So again, the volume sold went down quite a bit from current year to prior year. So that may be one of the things driving the average wholesale per cubic foot sold, but we can look into the details.
It's fine. I don't need any more additional.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you
very
much. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding the monitoring report? So please raise your hand. That's the end. Are there any questions or comments from you? Eric asked that question. Okay. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously. Next is item 4C. Consideration of resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager and or his designee on behalf of Public Utility No. 1 of Snohomish County to execute second employee retention agreement with the employees of the District Power Scheduling Department and the internal and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Number 77. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Jason Strakowski available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Are there any comments from the public on this resolution? Not seeing any hands raised. Do you have any questions or comments, Commissioners?
No. I have none.
I have none. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next, item five, our CEO General Manager report. Can you report for us today, John?
I do. A couple things to share. First, out of our HR group, we just kicked off on August 12th our second cohort for this year of the Foreman in Training, or the FIT program. We had a fantastic turnout for safety days, and specifically around some of the benefits and wellness screenings and trainings that were offered. We had 54 units of blood donated, 21 for the first time or from first time donors, 19 mammograms, 70 mobile health biometric screenings, a number of dental cleanings, approximately 20 people that attended the Wellspring EAP presentation, and 35 that participated in Jenny's yoga class. Also, we have some nice news from our meter readers who are transitioning as we continue to deploy our meters through our Connect Up program. We have 2 meter readers that recently started in the apprenticeship programs, and 2 meter readers that recently started in engineering tech positions. And we have a number of meter readers that are applying for different jobs around the district. Out of our ITS group, one of our key systems, our geographic information system, was successfully upgraded. This upgrade included several tools used throughout the district designed to capture, store, analyze, manage, and visualize geographically referenced data. The benefits of this upgrade include new features that were requested by employees. Team also upgraded related servers to support the latest in security features. From our customer and energy services group, staff are participating in back-to-school outreach drives coordinated by the Volunteers of America. At the first event on August 10th in Lake Stevens, we assisted nearly 100 families, including signing up many for utility assistance programs. On the 15th of August, we attended Edmonds Back to School Drive, where over 1,600 families participated, and we actually lost count of how many we served due to the overwhelming interest. We will also attend similar events in Arlington, Darrington, and Mocotillo, and hope for continued community engagement. From our power supply and ITS groups, a cross-functional effort from our power scheduling, ITS, and power supply teams led to the development and implementation of a compliance strategy and process for the Climate Commitment Act. This included developing a methodology for organizing, tracking, and accounting for every single e-tag touched by Snohomish in 2023, essentially from scratch. The methodology had to conform with the Climate Commitment Act's complex rules for assigning greenhouse gas emissions. This effort was led by Kim Haugen and Allison Stansbury, who did an amazing job not only to create the methodology, but also defend and amend it all throughout the first state-required third-party verification process. Major congratulations and kudos to Kim, Allison, and everyone who contributed. BPA also gave official word of approval for the BPA product switch. And again, just a huge thank you and appreciation for all of the folks that have been involved in that process, including the entire power scheduling group. And lastly, on August 16th, we had there was a Moody press release. We have been reaffirmed at the AA2, which is considered high grade, third from the possible best rating, and a stable outlook by Moody. They noted a few key items as a reason for our strong credit rating and stable outlook. PUD service territory is strong, serving largely residential in a growing and vibrant community. We have a history of conservative fiscal management and a willingness to raise rates when needed. We maintain strong cash reserves and target healthy liquidity with days cash on hand. That is it. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Deb?
I do not. Thank you.
Yeah.
The GIS upgrade, It's been some time since that system has been upgraded, hasn't it?
I believe so, but Christy, you want to answer probably more accurate?
I'm just curious.
Christy Sterling, ITS CIO, so Chief Information Officer. Yes, it's been, I don't have the exact dates, it's been a few years since we've done a major GIS upgrade like this, so it has been successful. Another thing that you might be asking in that question, Commissioner, is how long we've had this particular GIS application. And we have had this particular application for probably well over 15 years and probably much longer than that, as far as I'm aware. So it was a successful upgrade and really a key part of our business operations.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So this is a system that like shows us where all our things out in the field are, switches and valves, is that?
Absolutely. It is just a geographical representation of all of the equipment that we have that supports our operations. It does many, many more things, and it's kind of a foundation of information that the crews use in the field, we use in various departments throughout the district. So really, if you think about it, it's a foundational piece of technology that supports our operations.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
In
technical terms, it's a big deal.
That is perfect, John.
Did you take yoga class, John?
Man, you changed subjects quickly. I did not. I missed that one. And the last one, I actually took a hot yoga class with my daughter a couple years ago. Yeah, and that was one of the, that was a mistake. Another opportunity for my daughter to thoroughly embarrass me.
All right, we'll move on to item six, commission business. We have 6A commission reports. Any reports, Commissioner?
I do not.
I have none.
I enjoyed safety. I took a chance on a safety class. It was well taught, and I learned I need to wear chaps. So, other than that,
Wear chaps?
Chaps when you use a chainsaw.
Chaps?
Yeah, they protect your legs from the teeth of the chainsaw. Yeah.
I don't know what's scarier, you taking a chainsaw class or me taking yoga?
Probably so.
Just as dangerous.
Okay, next is item 6B, our commissioner event calendar, page 147 of our packet. Are there any changes to make the calendar, commissioners?
No, please don't.
Commissioner Lovin, you're not doing the Linwood Library.
I actually am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just didn't make it in there, so I am going to pass off August 30th. And the fair.
Yeah, I get Monday. It'll be a slow day. I love doing it.
Is that retiree day?
Oh, probably.
Because I've done that one year. It wasn't slow. There's a lot of people.
Well, I like opening day, but that was taken.
Yeah.
That's the seniors, mostly. Senior day.
Absolutely. I see all kinds of PD retirees there.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next is item 6C, our 2024 Treasury budget forecast and major status report for June. Sarah Bond is here to answer any questions about the report. Any questions, commissioners?
I had none.
Double checking to make sure I don't have any. I am excited to see the North County office being completed. So are we still on in line to open it in October?
No.
No.
That probably would have been something good to include in my report as well. That has been pushed due to some supply chain and then working through opportunity with the city of Arlington where we have to provide access to, Jason's
here. Kind of rescue.
He's gonna save me.
All right, Jason Zyskowski, Assistant General Manager for Facilities Generation, Power Rates and Transmission. And so basically once they complete the building. They go in there and they do a test with the first responders to see how their radios work. And then if needed, they put in a system that, you know, if they're not communicating through the building, and in this case, the building has kind of a metal sheeting on the outside, and so they weren't communicating. So they do a design, and then they order material to install a system kind of designed specifically for the building that will allow their radios to communicate to the outside. And so that is, you know, kind of the longest lead item left to do there, but the facilities team has worked with all the different stakeholders, distribution, engineering services, IT, all the groups to kind of come up with a schedule, and that, you know, kind of March timeframe is a conservative estimate, you know, so we don't want to have to move it again, but that is a plan to have it.
The delay due to materials?
Yeah, and the first responder radio system. There's also some other things they're doing in there. That's kind of the longest, long lead item, but they're going to delay it from October to March there.
I don't know if we have a radio system, handheld radio, so we have the same challenge. I don't know what our crews carry, I suppose.
Our crews use an older 900 megahertz system. The plan is to move to kind of the more of the first responders type of radio. Yeah.
We might have the same challenge potentially in the future.
Yeah, I suppose we could. And we have that, like out of the Jackson Hydro Project, there's a repeater in there because, you know, it's just a concrete building with all kinds of iron, you know, reinforcement in there. And so they need those repeaters out there as well.
Yeah, the upgrade to our radio system is going on now and over the next couple of years. Yeah, it's an old system.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Any other questions about the status report?
None.
Okay. Next, we move to item 7, our governance planning calendar. Any changes to the governance planning calendar? It's on page 165 of our packet. Okay. Well, is there any further business to come before the board today? Hearing none, it is 2:07, and our meeting is adjourned.